Almighty God, by your Spirit, tell us those things that we most need to hear. Startle us with your living word today. And then, oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight, oh God. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Probably the most shocking thing to people who are familiar with Christians and Christianity, but not familiar with Jesus of the Bible, is that Jesus is not that upset with sinners. Most of religion, it seems, so many Christians, so much of Christianity is upset with sinners. But if you read the Gospels, it seems that Jesus isn't. Most religion and most Christianity, they are. Jesus, in the Gospels, in the Bible, he seems to be most upset not with people that were called sinners, but with people who were religious and thought they weren't sinners. This is a big difference between many Christians and Jesus. There is a consistent pattern in the Bible, in the Gospels, and it's made clear in this story that Josh just read. This story shows us that to Jesus, the great sin is the sin of accusing. Did you know that the word, the name Satan, that it means accuser? Hasatan in the Hebrew Scripture, it means accuser. And it seems that we all have some type of instinct born inside of ourselves. We see this instinct in the Gospels, in the scribes and the Pharisees, who are supposed to be religious leaders, this instinct to accuse, to judge other people. We must, as Christians, watch ourselves on this if we want to be like Jesus. I try to watch myself. And whenever we're in a mood where we are accusing and blaming and nitpicking and finding fault in someone else, seems that comes at a moment when we're not feeling so good about ourselves. You're hating yourself, or you feel guilty about something in your life, or you're angry about something, some of your circumstances, and you just don't know how to deal with that. So we turn our anger and our worry and our guilt out on other people. How often do you accuse others of your own faults? The things that you find yourself doing that you dislike the most, and you find that fault in someone else. And this story from John's Gospel, it perfectly demonstrates that. So we find Jesus, he's going into a sacred space, he's going into the temple, he's teaching them, he's sitting down, and then the religious leaders, who you would think had better things to do than going around accusing other people of their sin, they're doing exactly that. And the choice of the one they choose to accuse is a giveaway. Now, we all know it takes two to tango, but they bring one person, this woman. Why is it only the woman that is brought forward? Always blame the woman, not the man. So already we see a bias at work here in this story. And then they accuse this woman, and they bring her, and they stand her right in the middle of the crowd, clearly embarrassing and exposing her, humiliating this woman. But the text gives away what is really happening. The text says that they're really doing this to test Jesus so they could have a charge to bring against him. It seems throughout religious history, you can see it in churches and Christians, that whenever someone in a church, whenever a person decides to show mercy or to act with forgiveness, to show love and acceptance, when a church is willing to look around the sharp corners of the law to show and clearly see Jesus, there's always people that accuse that person of being a liberal or a lightweight or not as spiritual or not as moral. Someone will say, well, you're destroying our religion because you're not enforcing the rules, the law. And right here in this story, Jesus is not enforcing the law, because this is a woman, a Jewish woman, and according to the law, it's always a woman, but if she's caught in adultery, she is allowed to be stoned. So Jesus, he's going against the Jewish law. And what he does in doing this causes all of those religious people standing around to consider an important fact, that they are all sinners, to see that they have to come with false, they have come with false motives. And to see that whoever it is among you who is without sin, cast the first stone. So I wonder, who of us in this room today, who of us could throw a stone? And if we understand this truth, it takes away the power of stone throwing. Because if you're honest, and if I'm honest, if we're truthful, we have all sinned. And who are we to stand in judgment of another person? Who am I to judge? And yet it seems that the history of the church, the history of Christianity, has largely been a story that involves judgmentalism. It almost seems like that the church throughout its history has trained people. It seems like there must be Sunday school classes or seminary courses in judgmentalism. Feels like some people have graduate degrees in how to judge others, when in fact we should all have PhDs in showing mercy and loving and forgiving. You know, if you read the Gospels, if you read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, it's so clear. I mean, you may not get it from an imaginary picture of Jesus or a cultural picture of Jesus, but if you read the Bible, if you read the Gospels, it's just so clear. It's so clear from the life of Jesus. How can we miss what is hidden in plain sight? And then in this story, this is the only time this ever happens in Jesus' life on earth. We're told that Jesus is riding. Other than this, throughout all of the Gospels, it never says anywhere that Jesus wrote anything. And this one story, this one text, it mentions it twice. Jesus, he leans over and he writes in the sand. Of course, the Gospel, it never tells us what he wrote. And there's all kinds of ideas about what Jesus was writing. I think the most common idea is that Jesus was writing the names of all of those men standing around holding stones who also were guilty of adultery, that Jesus was writing their names down, but I don't think Jesus was accusing them either. I think a better guess is probably that Jesus is saying to the scribes and the Pharisees, he's saying to all of the accusers who are being judgmental, you know, I just don't have time for this. You are wasting my time. I can spend my time better by doodling in the sand, in the dust, than by talking to people who are supposed to be religious, but you're sinners yourselves. So we, who call ourselves Christians, we have to see that the first of all of the words of this story aimed at us, they're aimed at us when we have the temptation to lash out and accuse other people. His last line sums it up. Jesus says, "Has no one condemned you?" "Neither do I," Jesus says. That's not my job. Thinking back to earlier in the gospel when Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come into the world that the world through Him would be condemned, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then Jesus, showing that He's not light on sin or a liberal or a weak, He says to the lady, "No, don't do it again. This is just good moral common sense. Don't keep doing those things that are tearing your life apart. Don't do it again. I don't condemn you. You made a mistake. But let's not make the mistake again." So Jesus covers all of the bases. He shows that He is concerned with those things that matter most. He demonstrates that He is focused on love for God and love for others, not throwing stones or judging others. And may it be our prayer today that this story, that Jesus' actions, that they will rub off on us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give You thanks for this story in which Jesus reaches out and shows love to this woman. He reminds all of those religious people of their sinfulness. I pray, God, that in acknowledging our own lives, our own sin, that our desire to throw stones and to accuse and to judge, God, take that away from us. God, we want to be more like Jesus. May we be a good example of Him in this story. In His name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response today is number 277, "Take My Life and Let It Be." I invite you to respond today as God leads you, but let us all respond together by singing hymn number 277. Please stand to sing.